you have the Bible this morning, find, if you would, please, in the New Testament, the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that was inspired by God, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 will be our text. I do not think that I will turn you too much from this passage this morning, so once you get there, you should be good and set. Find ourselves at a service today and on a subject today that I did not anticipate us being here. I anticipated on the first Sunday of October beginning the book of Revelation on a Sunday morning. However, I guess that was my plan, and God changed my plan to His plan. I've been saved long enough to realize that God's plan is perfect. And often He changes my plan. I think that my plan is His plan, and it sure sounds good in the beginning, but He has a way of changing that. So we find ourselves on the first Sunday of October continuing and finishing this morning on the subject of missions at Plantation Baptist Church. Usually every September we set aside that month to speak about missions and to preach about missions and be reminded about biblical missions and the responsibility it is in our life as a church corporately, but also as individual believers in the Lord. And so the last time that we met and preached about missions was the third Sunday of the month, or the first Sunday of the month of September, September 3rd. Irma decided to come to church on the 10th, and no one else came on the 10th. And on the 17th, we were out in the storage building, in the metal building, and had a tremendous service there after the hurricane. And last week was Anniversary Sunday, had a great service for Anniversary Sunday. And so now we find ourselves concentrating once again on missions. I just want to give a little commercial for next Sunday. God's laid a powerful message on my heart for next Sunday on the subject of faithfulness. And that's a message that I want to preach to our church family. I think it's a needed message for the time in which we live in. And so I'd encourage you once again to come back next Sunday and be ready for that message. Our text today is in the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, which is a chapter that's well known on the subject of missions. Chapters 8 and chapter 9 have been preached by pastors throughout centuries when it comes to biblical missions. These are passages that are visited often, annually. These are passages that are, even though they may be familiar with us at times, have no depth to them in the truth or the richness that God has for our lives. Sometimes I feel like I get so familiar with a certain passage of Scripture that I tend to skip over it. I don't know, or I tend to read it quickly. But I find if I'll slow myself down and concentrate and read, the Word of God knows no end. It's fresh. It's new. It's encouragement all the time. There's always something to learn, even from the passages that we know. The previous missions message that I preached on to you set the stage. And I preached to you about this subject, that missions is important to God. Therefore, missions ought to be important to God's people. I mentioned to you that the great missionary himself is God the Father. I'll show this to you in just a moment. And God, having a heart of missions, desires that His church have a heart for missions. Now, it's very easy to sit inside a congregation like ours and kind of get a little bit distracted or a little bit dissected from the whole here. What I mean by that is you can hear me use the word like church or our Plantation Baptist and kind of get this big number feeling. But really and truthfully, when I use the word church, I'm talking about you as an individual that are saved with the Lord Jesus. If that's you, would you say amen? So when I talk about the church having responsibility, I'm talking about Mary having responsibility and Barbara having responsibility and Steve having responsibility. The church is not brick and mortar, guys. The church is humanity that is indwelt by the Spirit of God. You are the church. Therefore, I don't want you to have such a macro look at missions that you miss the micro part about that. Yes, corporately, our church is involved in missions, but individually, you, before the Lord Jesus, have a requirement and a responsibility to personally have biblical missions in your heart and to be part of that. And so we touched last week, an anniversary Sunday, kind of letting you get a glimpse into the reach of our church around the world. We said there are 195 nations that are in the world today. Our church, through our membership and through our missionaries, we're touching about 66 nations around the world. So when you see those pictures in the hallways with our missionaries and the letters there, these are folks that we support. These are folks that are on the field and they're doing the work and we're partnering with them. You see these flags that are hanging up here. These represent the different nations that are in this room today. So normally on a Sunday morning when our church meets in our attendance, 32 different nations are represented from people around the world. So when you take 32 nations and you take the 34 nations touched by our missionaries or the missions work, we are involved, actively involved in missions in 66 nations. Now, we celebrated that last week. Vision-wise, that means that we've got about 130 or so that we still need to reach. So the work's not over. Right? Amen. I would love to see the day that we touch all 195 countries in this place with missions. And so when I say missions, Pastor, what are you talking about? Talking about biblical missions, which is at its very heart, the preaching of the gospel around the world. When Jesus left this earth and he ascended up into heaven after he had risen again, he ascended and the great commandment that he gave was that his church would go into all the world and preach the gospel. So as he physically ascended in his body, he left his church body on the earth to carry out that work. And so when we're talking about biblical missions, we're talking about taking the gospel around the world. Now, the way in which we do that is unique to every nation. And sometimes there's a little more humanitarian effort. Sometimes there's just church planting and it has different venues and it looks a little bit different. But at the nucleus of that, it's the preaching of the gospel so that souls can be saved. Every person in this room that knows Jesus is a missionary. You're a missionary. You cannot escape that. You will stand one day before the Lord Jesus and you will give an account as to what kind of missionary you were upon the earth. Now, to the missionaries that we support in foreign lands, they live there. But you are a missionary on the street in which you live. You're a missionary in the home in which you live. You're to be a missionary in the job that you have. You're to be a missionary in the community that you have. And so in all of our worlds, you and I are to be missionaries. And I do not fully believe that this has really been comprehended by God's people, not only in our church, but in all the churches around the world. But if we could ever come to the full understanding of our responsibility to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, I think it would change our lives. I think it would change our world. And I think it would be as God intended it for it to be. And so I've laid that foundation of missions. Our church understands that. But here's what happens. And it's a glorious thing. We're so transient and we're reaching new people. I'll just give you a little example. I hope this doesn't bite me, but we'll try it. It's October 1. If you go back 1 year to October, the first Sunday of October 2016, how many people have come to our church since October 2016 to now, within the last year, you've started attending Plantation Baptist? Could you raise your hand? Higher. Awesome. Every section, every section. New people, new people, new people, new people. We get tired of our old ones, we boot them out, and we make room for our new people. Okay? Just kidding about that. All right? I feel as a pastor, my job is to preach and teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So my job is to make sure that I present missions. Now, for us veterans to be renewed in that and to be encouraged in that and to be stirred in that. And there's always room for that to happen. And so getting the gospel around the world is the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Now, I want to tell you something that you don't know. It takes money to do that. Takes money. It takes money to run a church. Somebody has to pay for these ugly lights. Somebody has to pay to upkeep them. It takes money. No way to get around it. It takes money to have church. I don't know if you know this or not, but church doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of work to have church. Come walk with me 1 week. I'll show you what it takes. Actually, I don't do the work anymore. Walk with Reuben and Joey and with Simeon and with Rod and with Malcolm and with the other 30-some people that work here throughout the week. It takes a ton to have church. And so it also takes money to get the gospel around the world. When I was a little boy, my dad taught me something I never forgot, and I want it to ring in your ears. He taught me, he said, Tommy, God has wealth. If you believe that, say amen. God has wealth. And God has a work. And that work is getting the gospel around the world. And he said, Tommy, the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. I want to say that again. God has wealth and God has a work. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. I get called at least once a week from fundraisers in our community. And they want to come in here and they want to set up everything and they want to help us raise money because that's just how it's done in most churches. But the reality is God doesn't need the world's money to fund the church. God wants to fund the church through his people. You need to hear this. So I was a little boy when I first started being involved in what we call faith promise missionary giving. I'll explain this to you in a moment. And so as a little boy, Brother Quinn, missionaries would come into our house and they would sit down with us. I grew up around missionaries. I'll give you one little thing that I remember as a little boy. I remember I was always excited with the missionaries to come, and we had this one missionary come, and he came in. Now, in the north would be anybody that lives, let's say, Ohio north. Anybody here from Ohio north? About that? Did you grow up taking your shoes off when you went inside the house? In Michigan, you don't dare wear your shoes inside the house, ever. I came to Florida, that's all you do. But in Michigan, you took your shoes off. I'll never forget the one missionary that took his shoes off. I sat down right by him. His feet stunk so bad. Don't keep your shoes on when you go in to visit people. But I was a little boy, and I was involved in Faith Promise Missionary Giving, and I wanted to be involved in that. So I didn't have a job. But the missionary would come, and I would see their pictures, and I would hear, and I wanted to be part of it. So in Michigan, we drink something called pop. Anybody else that used to drink pop? Okay, now it's called what? Soda, okay? And really, it's called pop. When you get to heaven, you'll figure out the truth there. In Michigan, you got a refund for your can. You don't throw cans away in Michigan. You take them back to the store. So when you buy a 12-pack of pop and it costs $3, you're going to get charged another $1.20 in deposit. And then when you take your cans back, they give you your $1.20 back. Well, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be involved in the Lord's work so bad, and I didn't have a job, that I told God, I said, God, if you'll let me find 10 pop cans a week, I'll bring that dollar and I'll give it to missions. And I used to go on the street, and I used to walk, and I used to take I would steal every pop can from my dad so I could give it to the Lord. I'm not sure how that worked out about that. And I'd find those pop cans, and I'd take them down, and I'd get that dollar, and I'd come in, and I'd give my offering to the Lord for missions. And I was impacted by my dad saying, God has wealth and God has work. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. Now, this is changing in churches. Now, churches are trying to kind of find business models. And they're trying to find something called income streams. Now, don't take me to too far advantage on this. But I just want you to hear this. The number one income stream that God has biblically for his church is that his people tithe and give. That's the number one income stream. Everything else needs to be a backseat to that. The church, in essence, does have some businesses to it, but the church is a living, breathing a body of believers. So, as we've been called to give, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that takes money. So how does our church work? This is our church. I'm just speaking for our church. Every year, if you've been here, you come in on September and you find one of these in the bulletin. Okay, look at yours. All right, find yours. Some of you have already crinkled away and thrown it in the garbage. Look, dig it out and look at it. My Faith Promise Missionary Offering. Faith Promise Missionary Offering is in the Bible. I'll prove it to you this morning. I can prove it to you anytime you want to. I can show you the scripture. And so what we do in our hearts for our church is, in dependence upon God and by his help, I will endeavor to give by faith to the missions program of Plantation Baptist Church. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. I want to go back 12 years. I go back 12 years because I'm going somewhere with this. In 12 years, in the past 12 years, however long you've been here as a member or regular attender, have you participated in the missionary giving of Plantation Baptist Church? What does that mean? That means when you give your offering, are you involved in this second blank right here? Or do you just give the first blank or sometimes here? But are you involved in this little second blank? Pastor, why would you ask that? Hold it in your brain. I'll show you in just a second. Continue reading. The card says, check the amount you prayerfully promise to give as God enables you during the next 12 months. You will never be asked personally for your offering. There's no place for your name here. It's a voluntary faith promise missions offering, a voluntary faith promise. It's given in obedience to the command of Christ to go into all the world and to do what, class? Preach the gospel. Okay, so last week we celebrated 55 years in our church. I've only been your pastor 12. I'm hoping to be after today's message too, okay? So smile a little bit out there. It helps. It helps me. Last week we celebrated our reach with nations, with 66 nations. In 12 years, in the past 12 years, this little card has been responsible for $2.4 million. Our church, in 12 years, has given $2.4 million to send the gospel around the world. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Fascinating. Fascinating. Pastor, wow. We must have some really wealthy people in this church. No. No. No one person, no one family. I'll tell you what we have. We have a very healthy body in this church. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. I just mean that God's people have understood biblical missions. We've understood our personal responsibility as missionaries. We've understood our personal responsibilities to send the gospel around the world. And so in the last 12 years, we've sent $2.4 million around the world. How does that, what, tell me how that looks, Pastor. I was hoping you would be interested in this. So what we do is when we collect the offering, we take the offering and we deposit that offering into the church's accounts. We have a general account. We have a missions account. And what we do based on your money, see, that's why you can't just come to a church and just throw cash into a plate. I mean, we'll never say no to cash. But when you just throw it into a plate, that money goes right into our general fund. So if you throw $100 in there and you think, well, I want 50 to go to missions and 50 to go to general. If you didn't tell us, we don't have any clue. So it just all goes to the general fund. So we use an envelope system, and we're familiar with this. And once that money comes in and it's divided up, it gets deposited in the general fund. It gets deposited in the missions fund. The missions money, what we do once a month is all these missionaries, some 80 missionaries that we support, we send our monthly support to them wherever they are in the world. And that money that they receive, they use for the work. So if you were here on Wednesday night, we read a missionary letter from Damien Pickett from England, and he talked about how they were able to have holiday school or vacation Bible school. And he talked about how they were able to do some other things in the community. And he talked about how through those efforts, people got saved. Well, I got news for you. Who do you think paid for that? We did. So 2 weeks ago when our missionary from Mongolia called and said, Pastor, I'm afraid for our family's life. They're breaking in and stealing everything we have. We're totally vulnerable here. We've got to be secure. I was able to be able to go into our missions account, and we were able to send them money to help them. When missionary called and said, we have no more roof on our house. We need a roof on our house. We could help them. When missionaries called and said, hey, we want to do a citywide campaign. It costs this kind of money to rent this so the gospel can be reached. Who do you think's paying for that? We're paying for that. Think about this. 2.4 million invested around the world. All the souls that have been saved. All the work that has been done. When we get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Thomas Alexander Hunter Jr., it's your turn to appear before the Lord. Oh boy. Tom, you don't know this, but you were involved in the missionary program since you were a little boy, Tommy. You remember when... I wonder if the Lord's going to call me Tommy, Thomas, or Tom. I just thought about that. When you were a little boy, you've been giving to missions. Tom, I just want you to look over here. And from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, there will be people standing there that have received the gospel. And I've had a part in that. And the Lord's going to say, would you please give Tom his reward for that? And they're going to come from everywhere, and they're going to lay that reward down in heaven. The Bible says, I will look at that reward. I will look at the Lord. I will in turn take that reward, and I will lay it down at the feet of my Savior, because he and he alone deserves all the glory, power, and praise and honor to have a part. 2.4 million, 12 years, all the souls. And what I want today is I need you to understand that there's a process that happens. We sit inside this building. We've never been to Uganda. We may never get to India. We may never get to Romania, wherever we get to go. But our effort and our work and our money is being used for the gospel. God has wealth and God has work. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his church. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you participating in that? Please go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, would you say that please? Rich. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my, what's that word? Advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. You need to understand the setting or you'll never understand the verse. Lord, you held the sun still with Joshua. I need you to hold that clock still on me because it's ticking fast. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. It's the second letter he's written to them. Paul started this church. When Paul started this church and those people received the Lord, man, they were on fire for God. They had a heart for God. They had been saved. And just like anybody who's truly saved, you want everybody you know around you to be saved. They want everybody to be saved. And Paul had won them to Christ, and Paul also had preached to them biblical missions. And Paul had just a heart for missions, man. He loved Christians. He had murdered them. He had been involved in their demise before he was saved. And after he got saved, he wanted to serve the Lord and he wanted to help those churches. He wanted to plant new churches. And Paul had just a burden for church work. And so Paul had led by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the people of Corinth to be involved in missionary giving. And when he left there, they were on fire. The problem that happened in Corinth is the same thing that happens to everyone that allows sin into their life. I don't care how on fire you are for God. If you let sin into your life, it will quench that fire. Sometimes we think, well, man, I'm so spiritual that I can just allow this little thing into my life or this little thing into my life, or I can tolerate this or I can handle this. And we just begin to let our guard down. And when we begin to let our guard down, we so love the Lord and we're so on fire for the Lord, we don't think that could ever change. But if you let sin come in, it will quench the fire for serving the Lord. At the church at Corinth, sin came into that body of believers and it flat quenched what they were doing. Paul wrote them a letter to confront them. They humbled them. Got themselves right with God. And when they got themselves right with God, he wrote a second letter to encourage them. And in the second letter, where he's being tender, in the first letter, boy, he was on a tirade. He was preaching to them. He was getting them. This letter's a little bit more tender and it's more encouraging to them. And so Paul says to them, after they have experienced godly sorrow in chapter 7, Paul says, I want to give you some godly advice. And I took that phrase, advice, and I made it my title today, godly advice. And I'm careful because I don't want you to misunderstand my title. Sometimes when you say, I'll take that under advisement, you mean I don't give a rip what you think. Boom, gone. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll take that under advisement. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I just want to get away from you, so here's what I'm going to say. I'll take that under advisement. I don't want you to treat it like that. I need you to understand the heartbeat of Paul and who he's talking to. He's talking to a people that when they were on fire for God, they had understood their responsibility for missions as missionaries, and they had understood their responsibility to send money and help and pay for missions. And when you read the chapter, you will find that they had made a promise, faith, promise, missionary offering. They had made a promise that they were going to send this money. Their example, they were so on fire that Paul took this church, and when he went to start at other churches, he used them as an example of what a church ought to be. And the church at Corinth was this. Corinth was a robust, wealthy city. If any church could afford missions, Corinth could afford it. And so Paul would come to these other churches and use them for an example. And these other churches, when they heard the preaching and they saw the example, they began to align themselves in giving to missions. Such be verses 1-4 in chapter number 8, the churches of Macedonia. Problem is, when sin came into the church at Corinth and it squelched that fire, then the church at Corinth no longer was involved in getting the gospel out. They were no longer involved in giving. They were under the consequence of that sin. And so when they got themselves right with God, Paul came right back at them in chapter number 8. And Paul said, guys, I got some advice for you. He says, I want to talk to you about missions, and I want to talk to you about your money. Now, here's what the world will tell the preacher. Praise God this morning, I have this Bible. If you love this Bible, say amen. Because if I didn't have this Bible, you could run me out of town after this message. But you can't run me out after this message, because I will run you right to the book. Amen. Okay? So, just like you preachers, church goes through a hard time. They finally get themselves right, and all you care about is the money. That is a bold-faced lie. So Paul comes back to him, and he says, now, fellas, I'm not speaking to you about commandment. He says, but I've got some godly advice for you. Go back, if you would, to verse number 10. Read the godly advice. And herein, I give my advice. For this is expedient or wise or a blessing for who, class? You, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now here's what Paul says. Paul says, now fellas, I appreciate where you are, and I appreciate what God has done. He says, now I want you to remember now, though, that now that you're right with God, what is important to God ought to be important to you. And Paul says the number one thing that's important to God is that people hear the gospel. That's right. The number one thing that is important to God in your life is that God can use you to tell others about the gospel. The number one thing that is important in your life is that God can use you to tell others about the gospel. Amen. One more time. Don't have to say amen, just hear it. The number one thing that's important in your life that God cares about is that he can trust you to tell others about him. About him. And so Paul says, now fellas, what's important to God is there's people dying and going to hell. And I got these churches over here. And remember when you were on fire and you cared about that? I need you to go back to that time when you were on fire and you cared about that. And let's go forward, for this is expedient and a blessing for you. And Paul is letting them know that God's plan for every church is that everybody is a missionary and that everybody supports missions. Now, the one thing about God is this. He will be no man's debtor. No man's debtor. And so what God proves in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I don't have time to go through all that. I'll have you read all of that. Is God would never ask you to serve him and make you pay for it. God's not asking you to pay for this per se. He's asking you to trust him in this capacity. And so what is missions? Biblical missions is this. We're asking our church to say, Lord, I understand that I'm responsible to be a missionary, and I understand I'm responsible to make sure that the gospel gets sent out from this church. What do you want me to individually do? And so then reckoning who God is, reckoning that I'm his child, reckoning all the promises in the book, I sit down and I ask the Lord, Lord, financially, what do you want me to do in the area of missions? And as I respond in that, and God leads that on my heart, I fill that out, I turn it in. That's how our church determines how many missionaries we can support. Brother Quinn, to be honest with you, we need to raise money to support you. We want to support you. We're excited to have you here. We got families just like this. I've got a whole thick folder this thick of people that want support to go onto the mission field. And listen, God has been good to Plantation Baptist Church. When men, churches are closing their doors like crazy, ours are blowing open. Churches are so financially tight that they're dropping missionaries like flies. Our missionaries are calling me saying, I lost 8 churches. Our church ain't like that. To God be the glory. So we have a responsibility here. This is how we organize ourselves. A couple of things in closing. You remember how Paul said he gives his advice? I'm giving you godly advice that I can support from the word of God. Number one, mission, understanding biblical missions is really the evidence that you understand who God is, what he has done for you, and really and truthfully, it proves your love for him. Please look, if you would, at verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the, what's that word? The sincerity of your love. Now listen, I know our church loves the Lord. But missions giving helps prove the sincerity of that love. So if you love the Lord, you're participating in missionary giving. That's right. If it's a sincere love. Now, that's a little hard to swallow right there, so I'll just pause a second. Pastor, it's not that I'm against it. I just don't ever think about it. Oh, man, really? Well, Pastor, I don't necessarily know, financially. You ought to read how he structures that. He doesn't say it's not. It's according to what you have, not what you don't have. There's no parameter to it. It's just with your heart. But something. Number two, and here's the biggest trick the devil plays on the church. We're not talking about tithing here. If you understand tithing, would you say amen? Or do I got to preach 30 minutes on that? Okay, everybody knows what tithing is. All right. Does everybody tithe? No. Do not substitute this for tithing. Don't do it. If you made $100 this week, 10% of that $100 belongs to Jesus and he wants it. Okay, so here's what the devil says. The devil says, well, you made $1,000 this week, so $100 is the tithe. Now, you can't give $100, but I'll tell you what. Just mark on that card $25. You can give $25. Put it in the plate. That'll help you feel better. At least you're doing something. I want you to hear me. I love you with my whole heart, or I wouldn't say this. If you do not tithe, do not substitute it for missionary giving. Don't do it. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt your family. You're going to put yourself in such a vulnerable place. And the devil will always offer you an ulterior. He'll always offer you an option B. And option B says, well, you don't have to tithe, but just give the $25 to missions. You'll help the poor people of the earth. Why don't you help yourself by obeying the holy God? Don't substitute this. If you don't tithe, the last thing you want to do is tip God somehow missions to help your conscience. I'm trying to protect you. That's right. Number three. And I'll say this and I can back it up later. When it comes to missionary giving, God will pay you back every dime you give him. God will pay you back every dime plus more that you give him. Every dime. I will say this again. God will pay you back every dime plus more. It's in the Bible. I can prove it to you. And I can also prove it to you by my own life. I remember one time I thought about I was going to hold God to his word. And I write down every way he blessed me because of faith promise giving. That lasted 1 week and I got tired of writing because God blesses me more than I could write. And God, that was so stupid and sinful on my part to try to hold God in that manner. He just blesses us that way. Number four. This has to be a matter of prayer or you'll hurt yourself. Can you hurt yourself by making bad spiritual decisions? Yes, yes, yes. Pray. God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And then do that. Don't do what you think. Don't do without asking. Don't do more than God tells you to do. Don't do less than what God tells you to do. Whatever God tells you to do. God, do you want me to do $10 a week? You want me to do $100 a week? You want me to do $1,000 a week? You want me to do $1,000,000 a week? I'm praying God tells somebody to do $1,000,000 a week. Just kidding you. But do what God wants you to do. And the fifth thing. Nowhere else in my life, apart from my salvation, have I seen God display his wonderfulness than I have in the area of faith promise missionary giving. Nowhere else. It is because that I have invested in his work that I have seen the miraculous, wonderful hand of God in my life. And I'm not alone. If you've seen that, would you say amen? I'm telling you, we're all missionaries. And we all have a responsibility to see that the gospel gets around the world. God has wealth. He has a work. The way he gets his wealth into his work is through his people. And if you will allow God to funnel his resource through you, you'll be amazed at what God can do. $2.4 million in 12 years. To God be the glory for the great things he had done. Shall we pray?